Hey, welcome into a bonus episode of season two for Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Josh Jordan. Read Josh's work daily on sportsmap.com and follow him on X at JoshJordan975. Josh, we are waiting on bated breath for the 2024 NFL season to start because we are excited to see this iteration of the Houston Texans. Hey, Mina Kimes had DJ Bieniemy on her show. DJ, obviously, we know, is ESPN.com's beat reporter for the Houston Texans. He was on Mina's show. They were previewing the AFC South. Really good comprehensive breakdown. We encourage everyone to check out that video. Josh, I wanted to get your reaction to their discussion regarding some of the challenges and questions they have about the Texans this season. Let's take a listen.
If you had to pick one thing, like if this time next year we're not talking about the Texans winning the division, other than obviously injuries to him or any of the key players, what do you think it would be with Stroud in this offense that, like, if you had to identify like one potential pitfall?
Yeah, I would say probably play calling. I think that's one possibility. Because we've seen it before where, like, teams get all this talent on offense and it's just, you know, it's you know, like, we know what the ceiling can be, but it have its moments where it's just not there, you know? I'm not saying, like, Bobby can't call plays, but it's a lot different when you have a receiver that you gotta feature. Because if you don't feature, he will let you know about it, right? And you have Nico who just got paid.
What?
And you got Nico who just got paid, who, that's you right. know, wants the ball too. And then you have Tank Dell who was on pace for 1,200 yards. And he thinks he's
a lot of tier.
You know, it's a lot of mouths feeding. You know, you got Dalton Schultz. You got to feed Joe Mixon too, right? Joe Mixon just got paid. So there's a lot of, you're going to have to manage a lot of the egos.
That's the one where if they feed Mixon too much, that's what I mean, not to continue harping on that, but it really was the central frustration I had at times.
Okay, so balancing personalities, all the wide receivers, a lot of mouths to feed. That's something we've already talked about here, that, you know, it's a legitimate concern, I think. They raised some interesting questions here. What's your specific reaction to what they said?
I thought it was interesting that one of the challenges this year could be play calling, Bobby Slowick, and, you know, and managing the egos, all those things working together. There's only so many footballs to go around. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we were so excited that Bobby Slowick was coming back. So the thought that he could be, you know, one of the reasons they don't get to where they want to get this year is interesting to me. We know how coveted he was across the league. We were excited he decided to stay. We get that continuity with CJ Stroud coming back to the offense. But it really made me think for a second, if managing the egos, play calling, making sure everybody gets their share of footballs thrown to him, if that's going to be part of the deal, I wonder to myself, like, let's look at the numbers. Is that even possible? So I was like, how many completions did CJ Stroud have per game? How many receptions did these guys average last year? Diggs with his former team, the Texans with what they did last year with CJ Stroud. So what I came out to find was Stroud averaged 21 completions per game in the regular season last year over the 15 games. So I'm like, all right, well, let's see what the other guys did. Nico averaged a little over 5 per game. Diggs with his former team averaged a little over 6. Schultz a little under 4. Tank a little over 4, and then I added up all the running backs in the Texans offense last year and averaged that out. They had about 3 catches per game going to the running backs. Now, obviously, some games they hardly threw to the running backs at all. Some games they threw 5 or 6 times to him. We're just looking at the averages here. So when we add that up, Stroud's 21 completions per game and all these other players, that totals up to a little under 23 catches per game. So they are in the ballpark. Now, you know, getting there exactly, I think, is going to be a challenge because we're just looking at if they're lining up at 11 personnel here. We're only looking at the running backs. We're looking at one tight end and your 3 wide receivers. We know the Texans are going to run in some other formations. They're going to use some other wide receivers. So getting there, they're not going to quite get there because, you know, Noah Brown's going to catch some passes in theory and your other receivers. You know, Brevin Jordan should be in the mix to some point. We'll see how much they use a fullback. We don't know. But I was very encouraged that I think Stroud can do enough to keep them happy. And I found it interesting. They're talking about Bobby Slowick being the one to keep everybody happy, making sure the play calling, they're dialing up plays for everybody. part of it's going to be CJ too, right? You know, yep. He's the one throwing the football. So as much as you dial something up, sometimes that guy's not open and another guy is, and you're going to throw the ball to the open guy. CJ knows what he's doing. But just, you know, in a philosophy, just looking at this, I think they can keep Diggs happy. I think Nico too, they can keep him happy. Nico didn't have a ton of catches last year, even though he had a lot of yards. He did miss two games, but he's such a big play threat. I think Diggs is going to be the guy that catches more passes, just like he did last year. He had over 100 catches. I think he could approach that number in this offense and still have Tank Dell and still have Nico Collins do what you need him to do. And even Dalton Schultz as well. I was kind of surprised he was at almost 4 catches per game last year. I think he can be in that same area this season. And the one thing I look back early in the year, we have to look that Robert Woods played a much bigger role than a lot of us probably remember. We look at that first Ravens game. Nico had 6 catches. Woods had 6 catches. Dell had 3. The second Colts game, the second game of the year, I should say the first Colts game, the second game of the year, that's when it really blew up because they were playing from behind. Nico had 7 catches. Woods had 6. Dell had 7. Schultz had 4. If they had something like that every game, then all these receivers would be perfectly happy sending Rolexes to CJ Stroud in the offseason for helping him get those numbers, right? But if we look at some of these other games, you know, where they played the Panthers, Nico had 4, Noah Brown had 3, Tank had 3. I'm just kind of looking at, you know, if guy had 1 or 2 catches, I kind of left that out. The other big one was the Bucs game where Dalton Schultz had 10 catches, Tank had 6, Noah Brown had 6, but Nico only had 3. So I just don't think it's going to be that often that all 4 guys are going to put up kind of their averages in one game. So I went and looked to see how often that happened. And that only happened one time last season where you had 4 guys putting up what their average should be. But when they had 3 players putting up that average, 3 players that had at least 4 catches last year, that happened 6 times, 7, including the playoffs. So I think there is something to this. Bobby Slowick is going to have to, you know, get creative here, but I also think the Texans, they're going to throw for more yards. I think CJ is going to get better. They're going to face tougher quarterbacks this year.
Yeah.
Is the defense going to be quite as good? We don't know. So they could be in more shootouts, which means CJ might have to throw the football more.
Yeah. You know, and look, in fairness, in response to Slowick's play calling, that was something that we legitimately discussed at length last season. However, we have to keep in mind too, that was Slowick's first year as an OC. So that, you know, we do need to grade on a curve there. And I think we are excited, not just about continuity of play calling and players coming back, but I think there's also a continuity with CJ Stroud. We saw, CJ speaking. I mean, he spent the entire offseason, it feels like, doing media, drawing up these fake plays, you know, on the whiteboard and kind of, you know, showing his play. CJ is I don't think I'm overspeaking here. Seems to be a football savant when it comes to offense. I think Bobby Slowick is going to have an offseason or will have had an offseason of working with CJ. They're going to be working together during the year. Bobby Slowick would, you know, I don't want to overstate it, but I don't want to say he'd be an idiot to not listen to CJ Stroud, but I think it would behoove him to work with Stroud because Stroud's going to see some things that are happening on the field defensive wise in which he's going to have thoughts on adjusting. And I think him and CJ Slowick and CJ working together is going to really help cement this defense together. I also think, man, having a lot of mouths to feed here, if everybody's open, you know, then that's a good problem to have, right? It's like, man, I'm just looking for all the, you know, the options out there. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think everyone's always going to be open. So I think there's good problems to have. I also think we have to judge how Slowick play called last year on a curve because number one, first year, 2, not as many weapons. 3, I think there is, you know, Mina refers to Joe Mixon as a declining player. Obviously, Mixon steps in for what Devin Singletary did last year. Do you think there's a risk of the Texans falling in love with the run game again, being stubborn, trying to, I completely understand that the setup play action, you do have to legitimately set up the run game as a threat. They have to know that you're going to lean on the run game legitimately here. What do you think a good balance looks like? Is that a concern for you at all that maybe they get stubborn into the, we have to set up the run game on first down or something like that?
I mean, it was one of the problems last year that Mina talked about in the video. Just it felt like they, when they were just hitting their head against the wall, getting nothing done in the running game, they still kept doing it. When you had a quarterback like CJ that could get you out of those situations, you don't have to hide CJ Stroud, but it's a normal inclination to want to do that with a rookie quarterback. It's just CJ was that good at such an early age to where they needed to pivot. So there is a little concern. Maybe they, Slowick falls in love with this new toy, Joe Mixon, and they want to lean into the run a little bit more. But I think overall, kind of what I hit on earlier, they're going to face a lot better quarterbacks this year. I think they're going to have to score more points to compete. It's a pass-heavy league. I think the thing with Mixon where he wasn't as effective in Cincinnati was they like to use him out of the shotgun to run, and he's much more effective when the quarterback's under center, which the Texans do that a whole lot more. The Bengals don't really do that. So I think that could really help the Texans with play action, using Mixon, running him, getting under center, really faking it good to Mixon, and it's going to open stuff up for other guys down the field. So it's a little bit of a concern, but I mean, that's that West Coast offense. You got to run the ball, and we're all familiar with it. It's not just the Niners and all the other teams. We were here when Kubiak was running the same system, and you saw how important Arian Foster was. Now, I will say this, if Joe Mixon is running the ball like Arian Foster, I don't think we're going to be complaining too much as Texans fans. But if you're one of those receivers and you're not getting close to your numbers, and especially if you're a receiver like Diggs, unlike Nico Collins, who just got paid, you're going to want to put up good numbers because you want that last big contract. So that's the thing we have to account for. But everything we're hearing from Diggs is, he's getting along great with everybody. He's being a great teammate. But we won't know until we actually see these games happening how much he's involved and how he reacts to that. But I think Mixon, I know he's about to turn 28 years old here. So, he's getting a little older. He may be a declining player because he's a running back approaching 30, but he's still a good player. He may not quite have what he had when he was 21, 22 years old, but he's plenty quick enough to get it done. He's a big bruising back. He can break a lot of tackles. So I think he's going to be a great fit for the offense. So no, to answer your question, I don't think they're going to, get so involved in the run game that it affects the passing game in a negative way. And I think a big part of the run game success is going to be getting these offensive linemen healthy. Can Titus Howard go back to right tackle and be productive? You got Laramie at left tackle. Can Kenyon Green come in and give you something at left guard? I think that's going to be the big thing for the running game because, between Mixon and Pierce, I think they can give you enough. I think this team is going to rely on CJ Stroud, and it should. You have, in my opinion, a top five quarterback. Put the ball in his hands, live and die with CJ Stroud.
Yeah, and one of the things that you and I have spoken about with this receiving core now is if you're running a three wide receiver set here, then that should open up the run game in theory. You're going to have your safeties playing deep, two deep safeties, softer boxes. So that should open up some opportunities for Mixon in the run game. I also wondered too, Josh, where do you come out? Do you think maybe we see some more QB scrambling this year? We know that's not what CJ's inherently wanting to do. Like, he wants to throw the ball. He's very good at it. One of the most accurate passers in the league. But do you think maybe we see a few more scrambles out of CJ this year?
I think you definitely could, especially, you go into play action and you maybe some rollout, something like that. And if it's not there immediately, if CJ can just scamper for the first down, and pick it up, a new set of downs, why wouldn't you want to do that? We know he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's certainly a lot more athletic than other quarterbacks we've seen in this system. The Matt Schaubs of the world, guys like that. CJ can run a little bit. So if the defense is going to really try and, we're going to try and, double Nico and Diggs outside. Let's say they try and do that. And, we'll see if we can hold down Tank and one-on-one inside. There might be some options where some guys are covered and the defense has their back to CJ and he can just take off and get you an easy first down. So I think that could definitely be the case. Just be smart. Don't take any hits that you don't need to take there, CJ.
Yeah, exactly. We don't, it's good to establish that threat of the quarterback running, because that helps open up our opportunities. Obviously, we see that with KC, with Josh Allen. It's like, when you have to respect the quarterback running, then that certainly opens up offensive opportunities, makes defenses a little bit more accountable to that. But for health reasons, obviously, you don't want to put a target on CJ. Lastly, I want to touch on their comments on the defense, specifically the secondary, being a question mark here. It's something we've talked about, but I think just as important is that D tackle play. Where are you coming out on the concern levels on secondary and D tackle?
Well, they talk about in the video where DJ says the secondary is probably his biggest concern, followed by the defensive line, mostly the D tackles, which makes sense. You lost Rankins, you lost Malik Collins, so you have to rely on some new guys in there. They tried to make some moves for some other players. It didn't work out, but they're so good at the edges with their two pass rushers. I think they'll be fine there, but we've seen it, that Jonathan Taylor in that last regular season Colts game where he was just running it down the Texans' throat, just picking up 20 yards a clip. You can't have that happening. That's the thing. We saw that for years before D'Amico got here, is they couldn't stop the run. And now D'Amico fixed that. Is he going to be able to maintain that with some different options in the middle there? So that's kind of, we won't know until we see it, what that's going to look like, if they can stop the run, if these new D tackles can hold up their end of the deal. As for the secondary, DJ also talks about Derek Stingley being the only guy in the secondary he can truly trust. He hopes Petrie regains his form this year, improves. And obviously it sounds like Lassiter could very well end up being your number two corner, a rookie. So you're counting on a lot there, but I mean, he's looked really good so far early on, without the pads on. So we'll see. But there is a bit of an issue there. But in this same video, I'd like to point out, they also kind of preview the rest of the AFC South. Mm-hmm. And almost every concern for every team is the secondary. There are just only so many good corners, so many good safeties to go around. It's hard to, because it's easy to get your number one receiver on a number three corner if you scheme it up right. So that can get a lot of teams. I will point out, too, finally, that they brought up how often the Texans got attacked early in games with deep passes down the field. And, you watch the games, Brandon. We saw that a lot, right? Early on, they would take some shot plays against the Texans, and a lot of them landed. And DJ pointed out that, D'Amico's maybe more of a coach that focuses more on getting creative on third down. So teams have kind of figured out, like, we can take some shots on first or second down because we kind of know how they're going to be lined up. And they delivered on a lot of those. So it'll be nice to see if, D'Amico makes some adjustments here and there's not going to be a bunch of deep bombs, the first drive of the game, something like that, that totally, flips your field position. So that'll be big. And with Lassiter, people are questioning his deep speed because of that 40 time. I'm not really worried about it. The tape looks good. His other measurables were good. That's not a big concern for me, but we know it's a weakness in this defense last year. So it could very well pop up again. So secondary, defensive tackle, that's kind of where you're looking. The linebackers look good. You just really need Petrie to bounce back. And, of course, Jimmy Ward, if he could stay healthy, he missed so much time last season. That would be a huge boost for this defense.
Yeah, and look, I like what Mina says in this video where she says, don't bet against the linebacker play of a D'Amico Ryan's defense. Yeah. I do like that. Look, we also saw guys like Lamar Jackson and some of those other dynamic running quarterbacks gash the Texans. Yeah. How do you think D'Amico responds this year with, setting up his linebackers and, like you said, some of those question marks around D tackle? How do you think they respond to maybe contain a guy like Lamar as much as you can contain a guy like Lamar Jackson?
Well, Christian Harris, he's got to be your fastest linebacker. I think he ran like a 4.41 at the combine, something like that. So I think he'll have to continue to, use him in some spying situations with these fast, evasive quarterbacks. And, Alshire was a great addition here in the middle, your new linebacker. He has experience with D'Amico in the past. I think that's a beautiful upgrade there. Cashman did a nice job, but I think this is an upgrade. But I think if you're spying somebody, you you want to go with speed. And Christian Harris, that guy can run. He's really shown improvement over the last couple of years. I could see him taking a big step forward this season.
That'd be awesome. I got to tell you, Josh, it is exciting just to get into this and really start talking some meaningful football, because we've got camp just around, or I should say the camp just around the corner, and then also the preseason. I mean, we're really knocking on the door of the season here. So as we get going, I'm just really excited. We're going to ramp up the podcast with Charlie once we get closer to the preseason. Charlie Palillo alongside us talking some Texans football. All will be right in the world. So we'll wrap it there. Josh, thanks so much for the conversation. Thanks for everyone for listening. Talk to you soon.